All right. Actually, if we were to correctly identify our guest, Noel McNeil, who is the executive head chef in the Laugharne Golf Resort and Hotel in Enniskillen County, Fermanagh, we could have actually played the Green Glens of Antrim, because that's where you, from whence we came.
Well, that is certainly true, and no matter sometimes what you might play, it's going to reflect very much the Emerald Isle itself, but certainly yeah. The Glens of Antrim is a favourite of mine.
Let me ask you, well, first of all, when you reached the top 50 executive chefs in Ireland, and then it becomes 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, and then you're in the top 2 or 3, what kind of pressure does that bring on somebody like yourself in terms of, you know, you're only as good as your last meal, or does that even apply to your trade, your skills as a cook chef?
I think what is more important, regardless of any, whether it's awards or anything, is how do we please our guests? And for me, I think it is number one is it is great to travel, great to see, great to do great things and to meet great people, but most of all, home is home. And it's where we can actually share what we've learnt to the great people that come to visit us every single day. And I think that's where Ireland has changed dramatically and where the standards are much, much higher than ever we had before. And it's no better time to come to Ireland to experience that than now.
Yeah. Okay, so in growing up in your own household, what was the normal fare? If you had to pick like a couple of things, would it be soda bread or yeah. you know, or something else? What was the menu du jour, the week, the month, whatever it was? What are your earliest reflections?
My earliest reflections was really kind of waking up at a very young age and being upstairs. And we lived in a 300-year-old thatched cottage. And it's one of the listed buildings of Ireland. And for that, my father was a stonemason. My mother looked after the children. And there were 6 children all. And with that, I always remember waking up to the likes of the smell that came up from the pantry and the larder and the kitchen. And I could smell that. So I would run right down. And what I would see when I entered the kitchen would have been cooling racks. And they would have been filled with the likes of soda bread, potato bread, different other treats. And then as I got into the kitchen, I would have noticed then more cullen racks, and there would have been scones made, there would have been the likes of buns and that, and sponges. And obviously my mother would have been probably icing the top off one of the coffee cakes that she would have been doing, and I would have been wanting to lick, first thing in the morning, wanting to lick the bowl, and her slapping my hand and saying, don't be eating that, you might get worms.
Yeah, I could never figure that one out, except it was very effective if you wanted to, you know, have kids going around with the, you know, licking through their fingers, by way of their fingers, the bowl and the dough, and there was no taste that could compare with that as a little the little kid. Now, let me first ask you, when did you decide that in fact, you know, culinary career it was something that, you know, that you wanted to pursue at that time? And God knows you're not half as aged as the rest of us, but was there a concern that maybe you should be doing something else, or did it kind of automatically imply, well, if you want to do that, don't bother doing it in Ireland, set your sights on some other place in the world where that particular career, that profession, will be better recognized?
I think when I could have grown up number one in Ireland is an amazing place. When we talk about our Irish mothers and Irish fathers, I mean, the support was always there. We were hardworking. We had a farm, and we were hardworking, having to look after the garden during the summer and really kind of look after then the likes of the goodies as such, like the blackberries, the strawberries, and be able to do jams and put them away and use them as gifts when people would visit. So that kind of thing was always installed into me. Little did I know that my parents were really giving me a toolbox and were giving me gifts to put into that toolbox for later life that I'd be able to use. And I think that was one of the things that my passion was always about, understanding and appreciating what I have, not what I didn't have. And I think I loved food. I always remember the first cake that I always made, and I just totally was fascinated how something like a different ingredients could be put together and could actually blend so well together and could rise in the oven and be so beautiful. After having ate all of the cake, I kind of understood then what one thing, never be selfish, always share, because I had pains in my stomach the whole evening after eating it. But I think it was always there, love of food and passion, and I was always very fortunate then to get great opportunities, whether it was going in for world competitions or to go and study, whether in Paris or in the States here.
You know, as an executive head chef, and by the way, that's Laherne Golf Resort and Hotel in Enniskillen is second to none. It's an amazing place. But, you know, let me ask you how you would define your own style of cooking. Because we do know that there are experts, that there are a great number of people involved in your profession and in many others. But what is your distinctive styling, and how would you describe it?
Well, I would certainly say that what I do is modern Irish food. And really it's about taking the best of local ingredients, cooking it as little as possible with great skill and serving it to the guests. Now, that sounds really kind of good, but how do we make them things happen? In Ireland itself, there's been a complete new revolution regarding to market, new farmers' markets, local artisan people. Northern Ireland itself has developed so, so much in that as well. And I think if you go onto the site of ireland.com, just to have a view, people will be excited to see how Ireland is really changing. And the food scene is more on a world stage. It can compete against anything there is out there along the world. And I say that simply because I came back. I was away 3 weeks in Asia, and I kind of came back to something that I'm very proud to say is one of the most amazing countries to live in and to work in.
Yeah. Now, you know, for decades, while there was, you know, tongue and cheek, description of Ireland, again tongue-in-cheek, ha-ha-ha. Ireland is, you know, the land of spuds, of potatoes, and of mediocre food. And if you're going to Ireland, don't go for the food. When and how did that, and how did that thrive at a time when the European Union was distributing their vegetables, their meats, their, you know, everything? Yep. I distinctly remember being in a neighboring town, you know, not too many, maybe two decades ago, and going into a butcher shop where if you wanted to get, for instance, an Irish ham, Irish pork, it was 10 to 15%, you know, dearer than the you know, than the meat that came, for say, from Denmark or one of those. And likewise for potatoes, you know, it was a kind of, I had to stand back and say, wait a minute, we need to get pork, ham from outside of Ireland, we need to get potatoes from outside of Ireland. How did that influence, or how did that affect, the markets in Ireland and indeed the culinary, menus of Ireland?
Yeah, well, certainly that's down to a lot of people. Education is power. And certainly, I think understanding exactly where our produce really comes from and how vital it is to be able to write a menu. And I'm not just talking about my menu. I'm talking about menus of chefs in Ireland now that are much more kind of educated regarding to where does the produce come from. And it's an added effect when there's so many different organizations out there that we have come more together than we've ever done. And that is all of Ireland itself. Say 2 years ago, Northern Ireland just hosted the Year of Food, which has dramatically changed and it helped so much to the local artisan producers. Before, we really didn't have very many artisan producers. Now we have over 200. It's quite amazing how it has just developed. And the one thing, too, is that resorts, restaurants, cafes, bars are now telling the story, where did the food come from? I mean, hypothetically, I don't use any olive oil within the whole property. I use a rapeseed oil, and it's actually from a couple that I know where it comes from, and they blended it especially for the taste of Loch Earn. That's a key thing, and I'm a firm believer of understanding and being able to tell people that we in Ireland very much are all about, let's look after Francie, not Francois.
Yeah. There is a notion, indeed, on some of the television shows and movies, it generally portrays, a chef. Granted now that these are presumably mostly comedy shows, that where the chef is like Cromwell, coming in, lashing out at all the staff. First of all, how many are on your team? You don't do this. How many are on your team, for instance, as you come to America?
In the kitchen. In the kitchen, there's 40 altogether.
40?
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right.
So it's a big resort, and it's got two, champion golf courses. One, which is there at Nick Faldo, which Nick comes over. Rory McIlroy used to be the pro for the resort, touring pro for it. So it's quite a big resort with seven different areas to eat in. And it's an amazing, amazing property.
So how do you section, for instance, a kitchen of nearly 40 people or, on your team? How is that done? Is that unique as you see it? Do you make decisions or is there some kind of a boilerplate, layout for kitchen staff, particularly?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's about one of the biggest in the country, but go ahead.
I think like most kitchens, the head chef or the executive chef really kind of designs it. I'm very, very fortunate that I have amazing people, amazing talented young people that have great minds and they want to develop themselves. So we have a kitchen that wants to develop, and it's how to really see, to think like professional, dress like one, talk like one, be one. And I think education comes in a lot to do with that as well. And that's one key thing that I encourage mostly is for anyone that comes into the kitchen that they have to go back to school. If they want a promotion, the only way they can get a promotion is going back to school. So eventually when they leave the resort, they've left it with their pockets full. And that's a key thing overall. Obviously, we see a lot of negativity regarding to how chefs are portrayed in the media, but not all of that's very, very true. I think that a lot of kitchens are wonderful, wonderful kitchens made up of our wonderful, wonderful chefs, cooks, workers that actually are amazing to work with, their passion, their love. And that's really where my passion comes from, is very much about who I work with. And the fact is that at any time I can ring up and I can talk to a producer with the same passion, and they'll talk back to me with the same passion and love of what they do. So I really surround yourself with with great people, and I honestly think that you will achieve great things.
On St. Patrick's morning, next Saturday morning, of course, you'll be featured on Channel 2 on CBS TV. And also, I, you know, would like to have you tell us a little bit about what's fairly new over here, and it's called Fair Place. And this is in its third year. It's focused indeed on celebrating Ireland and building awareness around the quality of food and drinks. Tell us about that and what kind of a showcase that is, because God knows, just for anybody who is in New York primarily and around for St. Patrick's Week, you will find tremendous emphasis, most of it due to Tourism Ireland, in having not only our guest Noel McNeil, head chef of Laherne Golf Resort and Hotel in Enniskillen, but many others who are here rolling out the most incredible foods and drinks from Ireland, a very, very large segment of tourism to Ireland, people who, however new or whatever old pishrugs were around with respect to the tongue-in-cheek, ha-ha, Ireland, don't go for the food, that actually this bringing it to America and display and getting all the television and media coverage has something very special. But tell us about Fair Place.
One of the great things is that there is places like Fair Place. And people that want to look at it, just go into Fair, and that's FLATEplate.com. I think one of the key things is that there is a place to share great ideas with great people of Ireland and showcasing their produce. And it's not often this actually comes to New York. This is one of the greatest things. And they'll probably do it around other different cities. But this has been held on Sunday. And there's different people with different different ideas about what we do, how we do it, and how we share it. So it's a great thing. It's a great thing for anybody that's interested in coming to Ireland to come and meet a lot of them. Tourism Ireland will be there. There will be so many other people that have cookbooks and talking about what we actually do. So yeah, it's a great showcase to be able to be for me to be invited. I'm going to be doing a demonstration as well of some of the great dishes that I have even in my own book, and one that is in a new book that is just launched, which is quite exciting as well.
And now this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I have Fair Plate, F-A-R-E, is that it, or is it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fairplate.com?
Yes, sorry, I spelled it wrong.
Fair Plate, F-A-R-E, yep. Okay. Now, and that is actually the event is going to, it's returning indeed, by popular demand, to Houston Street, Houston Hall in the West Village. And it goes on tomorrow from 2 to 8 o'clock.
Fabulous.
And I would imagine, a lot of foodies will already know about it. Is this open to the public at this stage, or?
It will be, and I think the quicker that you get in and get tickets for it, the more successful you will be, because it's actually by demand. So I think it'll be fantastic to actually get down there and really see what's actually happening.
If you don't have a website or a phone number on short notice, I think Anya will get that for us before the end of the program. Do you have it offhand?
Mainly just through the website, fairplate.com.
Okay, fairplate.com, and that's FAREPLATE.com. Just want to finally ask you about, you had mentioned, educating Americans and for that matter, educating next door neighbors or whomever as a chef.
Right.
You come to America and somebody introduces you as the leading chef coming from Ireland. And I won't ask you how many times, but I have to guess that a lot of Americans would say, oh, my God, I have corned beef and cabbage every single time.
Cabbage, correct.
First of all, there's nothing wrong with corned beef and cabbage, and somehow it is affiliated with St. Patrick's Day, and as a dish. But it really doesn't have Irish roots as such, right? How
Correct.
Did that come about?
I think a lot
give
of
us,
it...
Give us one of the versions.
One of the versions was when I was at Johnson & Wales University, I went up to a friend in Connecticut, and their mother had actually just made me corned beef and cabbage and said, "My goodness, Noel, we've just made your favourite meal." Now, at that stage, I'd never tasted it in my life, and I didn't know much of it. And a lot of it, kind of, people would say there is a lot of different histories, stories to it, whether it was through war or through whatever, and what was available. And Irish history itself has a lot to do with, you know, our weather and our climate, and certainly a lot of it of our history. But it's something to be very proud of. And really, I would say as well, for any menus, obviously I have 7 different restaurants at the resort, and certainly there are certain key dishes that are on it, whether it's corned beef and cabbage. But it's done really, really well. And the fact is, it's an exciting when we get visitors from other countries, and they automatically know something like that. They're quite amazed to see how amazing it can be and how amazing it can taste. But obviously, it is not really something that we would usually do.
Yeah. Now, when we think of Irish food and when we think of the Irish menu, we don't necessarily link that into drink brands, you know, the Irish whiskies, the vodka, the beer, the cream liqueur, you know, and peat, wine, cheeses, tomatoes, or all of that, butter, bread, well, maybe some of those. But Irish fare, your modern Irish cuisine, is more than the meal itself. It really has to do with, you know, a broad presentation of the best that Ireland has to offer. How many people are, you know, go, and they go for the food, they go because, and they go to, you know, to Lahorn because it's food, and what role do the other aspects play in terms of, you know, the overall meal?
I think that, well, everything, and I would have to say everything that we actually do is there to be enjoyed, whether it's with a pint of Guinness or whether it's an Irish whiskey or whether it is just lounging at the end of a meal with a nice glass of Baileys. But I think that it's appreciation, and I get back again to appreciation of what you have, not what you don't have. And I think that is the question really. It's really about what is the best aspects of a meal? Are you saying or
right? Yeah, no, not that it's the total package rather than just specifically, you know, the food itself. It food and a meal consists of a lot of. Of again, local yeah. Irish produce and whatever you have for your cookbook, and you have a few of them. But what is the best? The new book. How do we get it? Is it on Amazon? Is it?
The new Irish pantry, the new Irish table, which is by, which is a brand new one. People will actually see it tomorrow, the launch of it tomorrow, which is really exciting. It's in at the minute, Gourmand Award, which is a really exciting time at the present minute for the publishers and for the writer, Lizzie Grona. So the one key thing overall is that you see new dishes of a lot of all Irish different chefs. So I'm going to be actually cooking from that book tomorrow, which will really kind of showcase what it's all about, from starters, mains, desserts. Because an Irish meal isn't just about a main course. It's really about, you know, the very, very beginning of it, the starter, the main course, the dessert, the tea and coffee, the afters. And really it's about enjoying life and sharing that as well with great friends.
I want to point out that, again, no more than my own name of Flannery, which is most often referred to as Flannery.
Yes.
I'm sure the number of times that you're known are greeted as Noel McNeil, that in fact you have a very unique name of your own, McNeil.
Correct.
And as the executive head chef of the Lough Erne Golf Club Resort and Hotel in Enniskillen County, Fermanagh, you're indeed very welcome to New York. And actually, anybody who wants to know about Fair Play, who wants to, what is your own website?
The website is www.loughernresort.com, or you can get Noel McNeil on Twitter.
Noel McNeil on Twitter. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow or catching up with you during the week. Okay. All right. Thank you. And friends, you're listening to The Flannery Show live on irishradio.com worldwide. Okay. Music, yes.